When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And today is the best day ever. I have to say
it's
that.
Christmas for Leaf fans
and all hockey fans. It's a huge day. Yeah, we're coming at you. Tonight's the first exhibition game for the Leafs on it's July 28th, right? Yes.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. I got the right date. And yeah, so it's just great, even though it's steaming hot out there. It seems kind of odd that way with the weather being whatever. It's obviously we're in the middle of summer, but to have hockey, I don't really care at this point. I've been all inside all day and I'm waiting to get my TV ready tonight. And yeah, it's going to be good. So, but before we start on that and get into the Leafs, just want to again thank the healthcare workers and the frontline workers and everybody involved in the NHL bubble.
Absolutely.
Yes, because we need this to just, everything has gone very well and we need it to continue to go well. And yeah, and so we thank all of our healthcare workers and the frontline workers, not just in the NHL bubble, obviously, but in all the hospitals, the doctors, everybody that as we slowly get our numbers down for this pandemic. And yeah, but we've made it. Hockey's back, and it's Leafs Habs tonight. So gotta love that sort of thing. And actually, one thing that is unfortunate, though, is that we're going to have to listen to Jim Houston. I wanted to say this the last podcast, and I don't know how I forgot this, but I was so excited to have Chris Cuthbert move from TSN to Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. I thought for sure we would finally get a play-by-play guy that we would actually enjoy, right, listening to the games. But
to me, it made sense that Houston would be out west.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't understand. But yeah, I'm assuming you're just as excited, though, for the games.
Oh, yeah. I'm so, so excited. Like for me, and I was thinking about this earlier, it's kind of like, you know, when you plan like a really big trip somewhere and you're not really feeling it, you know you got to pack and stuff and you're like, I'm not really that excited yet. And then the day before you realize you're super excited and you can hardly stand it. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm going to be going on a big trip, except it's just in my mind and body, but I know I will be transported somewhere and I'm like super, super pumped.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's going to be good. And well, speaking of trips, actually, we have our new it's sort of a trip, I guess, but we have our new Seattle franchise, right? That came in.
That's
there
right.
Is some other news before we get to the Leafs again, but we have the new franchise, Seattle, the 32nd NHL franchise that's come into the league, and they came up with their new name.
Yeah, the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of kind of a novelty sort of name. But when I did see how they kind of came to using the name with all the maritime lore that they have there, I thought it was kind of fitting. And I actually, when I watched them unveil the logo, I thought that was like super cool. I could totally see that on the big screen and how they would work that in with the tentacles swimming through the squirreling through the S and the red eye. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, it's awesome. And I can't wait to be heading out there when they join the league in the 2021-22 season.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome road trip. Like if they can pull together like a Seattle, Vancouver lining up well, that might be a really fun trip to do. Especially for anybody who's like a Grey's Anatomy fan, there's all kinds of interesting things that you can sort of tie in with your trip. So,
yeah, I'm not into the TV show, so Syl will take care of that for us, the Grey's Anatomy part. I'm just looking at the hockey, sir, there. Yeah. But when I was saying trip, that's what we were referring to, the road trip possibilities. I think that'll be really cool too, going out there. And it'll be just like the when the Blue Jays go out there, right? Like they always get those huge crowds out there, right? So all of the Blue Jay fans and all of Leafs Nation now will come and join them too, sort of thing, right? That would be cool, actually, too, if the Blue Jays happen to play in Seattle while the Leafs are there at some point. You could go to a Blue Jay game and a Leaf game.
If it's like a fall trip or a spring trip.
Or spring, yeah. If it lines up, that would be kind of...
If they were smart, they would do that.
Yeah.
They would coordinate.
Yeah, that would be cool. But so we're going to get to the Leaf events in August to note. But actually, before we do that too, we just want to talk about the passing of Eddie Shack. It was sad day. I don't know if any of you, though, I keep replaying it on Instagram. I don't know if any, hopefully a lot of you saw our Instagram post where, we actually met Eddie Shack at the alumni luncheon last November. And on our Instagram post, he actually sang clear the track, here comes Shack. It was just totally him sort of thing, right? And it's hard to believe that, because he was perfectly fine then, it's hard to believe he's gone. But another Leaf alumni, and we give our condolences to his family. And they're gonna do the Leafs said they'll do a special ceremony for him next season when the fans are allowed back in the building. So that's something to think about.
Definitely one of my first favorites when I was a kid. My dad actually did some graphics work with him because he was a very entrepreneurial guy, a really smart businessman. He was involved in a lot of different things. And so I kind of got to know him a little bit more as a player through my dad that way as well. And and he was just always... just so fun, you know, just a really fun, boisterous guy, larger than life person. So, yes,
for sure.
Very sad day.
I didn't know that that song to clear the track, here comes Shaq. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it actually made the Chum Charts top.
Oh, yeah, it did.
For 2 weeks in 1966. It was better. Like even he said, it was better than Elvis, better than the Beatles. And I was like, oh, my God, that was.
But that just goes to show you the reach of the Leafs, like. No matter how far back you go, they're more than just a hockey team. They are part of pop culture here in Canada, regardless, right? So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, he definitely has a legacy.
Yeah. And for birthdays, now for August, for the current team, we only have one birthday. It's Alexander Kerfoot, and it's his birthday on August 11th. He'll be 26. Marlies have no August birthdays, and then there's a few alumni birthdays, and I think I said at the last podcast, but just so you know, we can't possibly cover every alumni birthday because there's too many of them. So go ahead, Syl.
We have Builder Lego, who was born on August 25th. He'll be 62. Ed Olchek, Eddie O., gotta love that guy. August 16th, he'll be 54, and of course he's recovered from cancer. So we're happy that he's seeing this birthday for sure. And one of my personal favorites, he's a guy that I really liked in the 90s. He was here for a while. Guy LaRose, his birthday's August 31st. He'll be 53. And I actually did get a jersey with his name on it, even though he was kind of a little bit of a journeyman guy. But I don't know, for some reason, he's a guy that I really liked.
It was funny because you have, it's a Calgary jersey though, right? I think it's a Calgary jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was traded to Calgary, and that's when a friend of ours, if he's listening, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
He gave Syl.
Chris did that for me.
Yes, yeah. And he gave Syl the jersey. That's just something for that that we have a connection with.
That's kind of the joke.
Yeah.
The inside joke.
Yeah. But of course, we cannot forget too that it's another special birthday. It's not an alumni birthday. It's Syl's birthday too. We won't say in August, so we'll have to say happy birthday to Syl. And one question I do have for you though is, how does it feel having hockey on your birthday? Like hockey games are actually going to be played, right? Like that's
there's not going to be one on my actual birthday, which is too bad, but my birthday is sandwiched between two games. So I don't know. It's like a birthday sandwich. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Normally there's not much going on around my birthday time. And get Leafs games for my birthday. So it's kind of special that way for sure. And thank you. Thank you very much for giving me the shout out. It's nice.
Yes. And so for the league update, again, sorry, we know we got to go through a few things anyways before we get to the Leafs, which it's ultimately what we want to talk about. But the league update, obviously we just got to this point now. So we just want to run through a few of the critical dates, I guess, going into starting with the exhibition games that start tonight, July 28th through to the 30th. Then the qualifiers begin August 1st, which is a Saturday. We got phase two of the draft lottery going August 10th, and that's tentative depending on when the qualifying round ends. The first round is going to start August 11th. Second round of the playoffs starts August 25th. The conference finals, which are going to be the conference finals and the finals are both going to be in Edmonton, so that's when the teams are going to move to the other hub city. Conference finals start September the 8th. Stanley Cup finals are going to start September 22nd. Those are all tentative dates. And the last possible date of the final is October the 4th. And then the draft is going to be on October 9th and 10th. So it's a lot of dates in there, but we just wanted to cover that with this whole return to play. We just want to make sure you guys knew all the dates that that are important.
It's still to be determined too, I guess, after all of this shakes out. There's no mention, obviously, of any free agency dates.
No.
And also no mention of when the next season is going to start yet either. So that's still to be determined, I believe. And anyway, also through this process, a new CBA was ratified that takes us through to the 25-26 season. So it's a 4-year extension, which is good because there's labor peace. But there's some interesting language that was picked out and debated a little bit over the last week or so that put in the agreement that says what teams can and can't do when it comes to summer workouts at their facilities. And we have a direct quote here from Elliot Friedman that says, Toronto was a team that a lot of their prospects or a number of them would come to Toronto in the summer and they'd work out at the practice facility and they really improved as players. And teams were like, we don't like that. So guess what? They had it written into the CBA that you are no longer allowed to have your players come to your home city and use your facilities. Yeah. Discuss.
I
cannot believe that. Anyway.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, really. It's just like the whole thing that happened with the referees where they saw the Leafs having referees a couple of weeks ago when they first started camp with their first scrimmage. And then the league came out and said, yeah, you can't do that sort of thing. Like, it's like, I don't know. I know that they apparently this whole issue of the prospects coming to their team's facilities, it has to do with the Leafs apparently paying for the expenses of these players, like when it comes to I guess their meals and their travel and the different programs that they have access to, like the Gary Roberts. Gary Roberts has his special programs, and apparently the team pays for all that.
Because they can. This is the thing. This is the thing that bugs me. And
is
the
that
whole
our
thing is, yeah, the whole thing is because there's teams that are, let's say not in traditional hockey markets, that don't want to spend money on this in the off season.
Yeah. Or they don't have
want
the money.
To.
Yeah.
Or they can't afford to. Or maybe it could even be the senator, say Eugene Melnyk, does not want to spend money on this kind of stuff. But why is that? Why is that our problem? Why is that the Leafs' problem? That's not our problem. If you want to be competitive, you spend money to make your team competitive. Either you want to be competitive or you don't. Now, we're already hamstrung by the cap situation because we can't just outspend other teams when we could afford to. They've already written that into the CBA also. But what I find interesting is that why is it always pointed to Toronto for this kind of stuff? Because Toronto's not the only team in the league who makes a lot of money. How come the New York Rangers are not mentioned ever in any of these things? How come the Montreal Canadiens are not also? Because I guarantee you, at least on the Montreal side for sure, that they're also doing this kind of stuff because can afford to.
Yeah, no, for sure, sort of thing. But it always comes back to the center of the hockey universe. It always comes back to us and making a point using the Leafs as the I don't know what the word is, but
like, I could see if we have won like 10 Stanley Cups in the last 20 years or less, that they have something to say. But hello, we have not. You know, we haven't shown anything yet. Right now, our team is all potential.
Yeah. No, I think I wrote a few tweets about it anyways. If they want to do this to me, then like the Leafs should have in the CBA, it's not going to happen. But when it comes to revenue sharing, we should not be included to give our money to those lesser teams that need it. Why are we giving them money?
Yeah, because they don't want to use it to make their team better, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It makes...
Isn't that what it's supposed to be for?
Yeah.
To give them a leg up so that they could have some of the nice shiny things that they think Toronto gets?
And to be on an even playing level field, as they say. So
yeah.
But obviously, they just want to make an example using us, of course, being the center of the hockey universe. And it's not... I don't agree with it, and I know obviously you don't agree with it either.
Oh,
and
no,
it's not right, but yeah. So that it's in the CBA, and we'll Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan will just have to work through it like we always do.
They will. They'll find another way. Find another way to. They'll send trainers out to each of the players. You know. Home rinks or stuff, like they'll find something to do.
Oh, for sure.
Some way around it, for sure.
So now let's get to the Leaf update. Mm-hmm. Let's get to it. This is what we want to talk about. So Sheldon Keefe is going into his first NHL qualifying round playoff series. We think it's a playoff series anyways. The team has been on the ice since July 13th. And I don't know. I listened to every Sheldon Keefe press conference that has been gone on for the last 2 weeks. And I have to say, I'm impressed with the way he's dealt with the media. And he's gone from 11-minute press conferences right up to 23 minutes on press conferences. So it's none of this like when I liked Mike Babcock as well with his pressers. Sometimes I found it funny how he used to cut it off. Basically, he just said like, thanks and see you later sort of thing, right? And he was gone. But this guy is different. He definitely takes the time and describes a lot of things that normally, like Babcock, wouldn't give you the time of day to describe it sort of thing as to... Mm-hmm. But how do you think he matches up against Tortorella? I mean...
Well, first thing I want to say is that I don't know if... I guess... right now it seems like there's quite a bit of a love-in between the two of them, and I don't know if at some point the gloves will come off. I'm sure, but right now, like the way they kind of talk about each other, they got so many glowing things to say about each other. I do kind of find it interesting, and I know Tortorella coached him, so So that's kind of a cool dynamic there. The fact that, you know, is the teacher and the student and all of that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, he coached him from 2000 to 2003, so three seasons. I didn't know he was there that long as a player, Sheldon Keefe. But it was interesting, though, like the way you say there's a love-in between the two. I saw in one of the interviews Sheldon Keefe had, I guess the media was talking about this same thing, how he, like, obviously Tortorella has won a Stanley Cup. He has all the experience, like, and they were just going on with him saying, like where does he see him matching up against Tortorella? And it was funny, the body language I saw, it looked like he was a little bit annoyed in that particular interview sort of thing, right?
I think he does kind of have that streak in him, this like little bit of a fierceness. Like, and that's one of the things Tortorella said, that he's a big time competitor.
Yeah.
So he is not going to hold back anything, I don't think. Like, he's not going to defer. That's for darn sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and Sheldon Keefe said, like, I mean, like, it's not like he doesn't have experience. It's just at the different levels. Like, obviously, he coached the Marlies to the Calder Cup. And so he has all that experience. And like he was saying, you know, like doing.
And
like,
that's more recent, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, he has the experience, like, when it comes to, like, matching lines and like, in between periods, what's to get the players. Like, he knows the time to say something, the time to not say something. So I think where he was saying it's going to be a big difference is like when, like during the game and like if there's a TV timeout or whatever, he's like, right, because normally he's used to like yelling because no, like there's music
right,
going.
Because no one can hear.
Nobody can hear. He's like, I'm going to have to get used to like keeping my voice down because it's like there's nobody that's in the building, right? So
I didn't consider that, but that's true, is because, you know, they're going to be talking, you know, behind those papers a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah. because there's basically no one, there's no noise buffer there. So I think it's those dynamics are going to be different, not just for the players, but definitely for the coaches too. I didn't really consider that.
Yeah. And the way he handled the camp, how do you think, like, the way how he handled it with the line combinations, the D pairings?
Obviously he basically started everything out like, you know, how things ended. And he just made adjustments and everything. But what I kind of love is how he split the teams. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when we discuss the house divided. But but you know, he experimented a lot, and I think you need to. So to kind of see where people can slot in, where he can move things around. One thing I love about him, which is so different than Babcock, is that he comes into the game with a strategy in mind, but he's not afraid to change things on the fly. And it's not on the fly, though. Like, it seems like it is to us, because when we're watching it in the game, it seems like it's just like a split second decision. But he actually plans for this stuff. So he's not just, you know, flying by the seat of his pants out there. It's strategic. And even the fact that he, you know, put Matthews, Tavares, and Marner together, you know, the so-called all-star line, you know, he might use that, but he might not. So who's to know if this is not just a part of the psychological gameplay? Also, just, you know, showing everyone that this is in our back pocket and we're going to pull it out if we want to, and you won't know when that is. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, sure. So I think it's pretty cool. So obviously I think that they're starting pretty much with the same lineup as usual, except we have a really interesting insert in the fact that they're going to start, Nick Robertson, and he's going to get, a chance to show his stuff tonight instead of Engvall. I think part of the reason for that is that he knows very much what he's going to get from Engvall because he had him in the Marlies and he's had him here. So they know what they're going to get from him. They want to see, again, strategy wise, you know, what kind of asset or to this Nick Robertson can be. So he's going to get a chance to show his stuff tonight. So what do you think about the fact that they're going to be giving the kid his shot?
That I'm okay with, because I just think Engvall is, ever since he got that contract, I don't know why, mm-hmm. he just doesn't, I mean, we're going to miss him, I think, more so, let's say, on the penalty kill, because he was a good penalty killer. He just, I don't know, he just seems flat, whereas obviously Nick Robertson being a young kid, it's risky, let's just say that, to have to do that sort of thing. We'll see tonight
I think it takes some balls for them to insert him into this situation.
But I know too, during these 2 weeks, Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas, they've both been saying about how they've been focusing on the defense too, like on the defensive side of the game too, and a lot of the players, Tavares, Marner, they've all been saying the right things, I guess, to say that the coach has implemented a couple of different strategies to focus on the defense. Mm-hmm. Now it's about buying in my opinion, like these players. That's the missing piece here is the buy-in. And I hope, I mean, they only have one game to show us tonight, basically what these, this new defensive structure is. So hopefully it, because that's what it comes down to, really, is their buy-in on the defense. And because they need our defense, obviously everybody knows, is not the greatest. But if the forwards come back and help, I think.
Well, it's got to be a commitment, like you said, to team defense. So even, you know, on things like, you know, especially teams when you maybe have, you know, less defense, like actual defensemen out there, there you have to have a strong team commitment to the defensive side of the game in those situations. And, and so in that regard, you know, if these guys can learn how to be doing that consistently, because we've seen that, obviously, like even if a lot of people are pointing to that last game we played against Tampa, which was kind of textbook, but we need to be able to do that every night. Yeah. It has to become rote, you know, something that is an automatic thing. And I like what Sheldon Keefe, going back to him again, what he said about that is that basically you can learn that. You just have to decide you're going to do it. That's what it comes down to, is that you can't be looking to, you know, your another player on your line and go, he's going to take care of it, I'll just let him do it. No, everyone has to be committed, have the buy-in, like you said, and just do the work.
And so going back to that host divided tournament that you were saying, or you were saying, we're going to talk about, that was interesting because I guess the way Sheldon Keefe put it was basically to keep the main guys together, like the offensive group, and to really focus on the defense though, too, like to show that on the other side, on Freddie's side, that he had all the, I guess what you would say more defensive team sort of thing, to actually,
and the utility guys
and to actually basically put it into practice, that defensive side of the game. They obviously didn't do too well but hard because it's your own team, right? It's your teammates that you're going against, so it's kind of hard. But I
love that though. I love that he did that. He stacked one side compared to the other as far as offense versus defense. And I thought that was fantastic on so many levels, because most coaches would balance things out. But to me, for Freddie, he has got to get they and the D, they need to get used to, like, first of all, most teams are not going to be stacked like what he was, what they had to play against. What team is going to be stacked like that? Not too many.
Not too many, yes.
And so this gives both sides a little bit of a taste of what they can sort of expect, you know, from the top level competition, except during a regular game, I think you will get little breaks because you're not always going to be, you know, facing the number one line or the first two lines all game long.
No, I thought it was a great idea too, just to, I guess, to kind of mimic a game, let's say, right? To the best of they could, right? To get that game type of atmosphere going between the two, playing off their friendship too, sort of from hanging out in Arizona together during the pandemic.
Make it a little bit competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no, I thought it was good. And the Matthews team, everybody probably knows, but they won. Team Matthews three games to one in the 5-game series. And it was fun.
I did actually think about this too with regards to the situation in Columbus, that everyone was kind of like a little bit on Freddie. It's like, you know, which Freddie are we going to see? Are we going to see October, November Freddie? Are we going to see, you know, Freddie who's a little tighter towards the end of the season? So everyone's kind of worried of like which Freddie is going to show up. And, you know,
he has the CN Tower pads again.
Yeah. Okay. Right, So obviously he let in a fair amount of goals here, but he's faced stiff competition. Okay. These are the top goal scorers in the league. So now we did talk a little bit about Columbus already in our previous podcast. So we're not going to review them to the same extent, but I do want to point out that their goaltenders on their side also have not had a good preseason, to the point where they actually, the two of them, have let in 37 goals. So Freddie is not as bad as them. And I also want to point out that the shooters that they were facing are not our shooters. So they're facing the 26th offense in the league versus ours, which is like got to be, you know, at least, you know, top 10, could be top 5.
And another point, though,
goaltending is what you need to win the series. So if we're just going by that, even if Freddie's like not 100% on his game, he's got to be better than what they've got.
And the other point is, too, though, that they have 0 games playoff experience. And exactly. Freddie has, it's 65 or 66 games. I forget. Mm-hmm. I think it's 66 games playoff experience. So that has to be something or be marked.
Yeah,
for something.
Counts for something. Yeah, sure. So yeah, I don't think, to me, it's not even close. Yeah. So
what player are you impressed with from the camp the most, you would say, out of from the 2 weeks?
I actually was pretty excited with Nick Robertson's game. Obviously, that's, you know, one of the storylines. But for me, I'm pretty impressed.
I'm crossing my fingers it's not the same.
That it's not the same thing. I'm really impressed with Matthews. Okay. There's something about the way he came in. I don't know. He actually looks like, maybe because, you know, he was in quarantine and he couldn't really get out on the ice. So he must have been working out like a crazy man, because to me, he looks even more fit than he did in season. And there's just something about the look in his eye. I think that he's ready to go.
Right. Okay, good. Because that wasn't who I picked. I mean, I'm always impressed with him, but I'm actually picking Willie. I don't know, Willie.
Oh,
Nylander.
Yeah, him too.
Mm-hmm. He just seemed to be his usual relaxed self that everybody seems to be, seems to get this impression that he doesn't care just because that's his personality the way he is. But he's been on the ice a lot after the practice, working on his shot, just doing his usual thing. And he keeps saying that he is going to be the guy to dominate the play. Like, he's going to be a dominant player in this league. And for me, I'm thinking to myself, just the way he's carrying himself right now and staying after practice to work on stuff, I think I was impressed with him from the for the 2 weeks, the way he...
Yeah, I can't disagree there.
Yeah, and who do you think is going to stand out in the series versus Columbus?
Good. Well, I think that our offense is going to trump whatever they've got as far as
you
know, their defense or whatever is concerned. I don't know. I'm interested to see, you know, if Nick Robertson is going to, you know, get to play in this and in that, how all
you
that
think he's going to take over the series, though.
No, not take
who's
over
gonna,
the series.
Who's going to be the guy in the series to basically own the series?
God. If it's one guy, I have to pick Matthews because it's just his shot, and I don't know. There's a fire in him. I think that he's the guy. Yeah.
Okay, I'm picking Marner. Anyways, I'm picking Mitch. I'm thinking that he's had enough of this whole thing to do with his contract and how he started the year and then he got injured, and he was just before the pause, like he was just getting rolling.
Was kind of on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think he's going to take it to another level. And now that, I mean, we haven't mentioned the obvious choice, maybe for I guess for the camp would have been Ilya Mikheyev, because apparently like a lot of the players have been saying
that's another interesting storyline. His shot supposedly is like even better than it was before, which it could have gone either way. It could have got, like, depending on how they tighten things up in there.
Right.
It could have been better or worse. So,
yeah. But I think that line with Tavares, Marner, Mikheyev, we'll see tonight how it plays, but I just think that's going to, They didn't have the opportunity to play at all during the season because they were all injured at some point.
No, that's true. That's true. Right? Because either one of them was always hurt.
Yeah.
So,
So I just think that Marner is going to be really going, all three of them, but they're Marner's going to really be the beneficiary of everything and take it to and own this series. I think he's going to be really good. And, we actually have a couple of trophy finalists here. The for the Lady Bing Trophy, we got Matthews that was named the finalist for the Lady Bing Trophy, and it's given to the player that performs at a high level while exhibiting the best sportsmanlike conduct, meaning no penalties. So. I don't think they didn't really, I guess the Lady Bing Trophy is not really, nobody really goes on about it because everybody's more about the MVP, the heart.
I don't think too many people are like super proud of, you know, being pointed out that like in this case, like he's just, you know, does that mean you don't get involved in the play enough? Like what's the deal there? But anyway, but.
Yeah. But he's
got some good competition.
Yeah, yeah, with Nathan MacKinnon, Ryan O'Reilly, and I mean, Wayne Gretzky was named, he was a five-time Lady Bing winner, so it can't be that bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
And I guess the last Leaf to win the Lady Bing was Alexander Mogilny, which I had no idea, actually, but that he actually won the trophy, I didn't remember that, and that was in the 2002-2003 season. And then just recently, I guess the Leafs named Mitch Marner as the, it's the Leafs nominee for, the King Clancy Memorial Trophy. That was just, yesterday, that's presented to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities, both on and off the ice.
His foundational work.
Yeah. Yeah, and made the humanitarian contribution with his community work through the Marner Assist Fund. So congratulations to both Matthews and Marner for that. And lastly, before we go here, we promised on our last episode that we're coming up to our first anniversary of the podcast and in September. And to celebrate, so listen up here, to celebrate, we're going to be giving our followers on Instagram a chance to win.
Our listeners.
And listeners, sorry. You do have to follow us, but listeners too. To celebrate, we're going to be giving away a $50 e-gift card of your choice. So to qualify.
To qualify for our random draw, you have to follow us on Instagram, like our post, and tag two friends. So that's all you have to do to enter our contest. And we will be posting these details on both Twitter and Instagram on August 2nd. So you can start entering the contest then, and we will announce the winner on our anniversary podcast.
Yeah, so the anniversary podcast will be in September, obviously, because that's our anniversary. So, yeah.
And we'll give you a few chances over the course of the month to enter. So keep a lookout for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to post it on August 2nd. And that's obviously the start of the Leafs, the first game for the qualifying round. So that's something to look out for there. And yeah, our final thoughts here. I want to say I saw an interview with Kyle Clifford. It was interesting. I thought it was great. He was asked how he was preparing for life in the bubble. And he said he's getting his family ready to go to Edmonton because he goes, I'm getting the family ready to go to Edmonton to wait for him and the team because they're going to be there for the conference finals. And I just loved it.
Is there anyone who is going to disagree with that face?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And there is an important point to note, though, is that his wife's family is from Edmonton. So mm-hmm. So that does help. But I still loved it. The fact that he was just had this straight face and he just said, yeah, I'm getting my family ready to go to Edmonton. So and wait for him to come there for the conference finals. So I love that kind of attitude. And tonight is the first exhibition game versus the Habs, so I'm excited about that.
Time to get our hockey on.
Yeah, and we just want to fine-tune, I guess, our game and make sure we get out of it with no injuries and just
forget about that.
Yeah, forget about Max Domi and whatever antics he decides to pull for the game because he always tries to be annoying. Max, but so our first game
and better keep Gallagher out of our crease too.
Yeah, that's true
because we don't want him running over Freddie.
Yeah, and our first game goes Sunday versus Columbus, so we're good for that. We're excited about that, and we're going to be talking to you guys again during the series. But do you have any final thoughts on the series?
No, just that I'm excited. I don't think it's going to be as close as some people think, although I do think the media, they have to be pretty measured and fair in the way they, you know, give their predictions. But I got to give a shout out to Rory Boylan because he's the only guy in Sportsnet who had the guts to say Leafs in three. So way to go, Rory. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Tortorella could, you know, talk all he wants about the underdog role and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're the underdog and that means that you shouldn't win. So that's basically how I feel about it. So...
All right.
So I guess that's a wrap for today. I just want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful first hockey game of the summer. Yes. Enjoy.
Yes,
and enjoy. As always, we want to thank you for listening. And please give us your feedback and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at LTL1917. And
go Leafs.
Go!
Go!
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.